crew, I am hanging out at the Museum of Idaho, getting a sneak peek of artificial intelligence, your mind and the machine. And so far, what I've seen is absolutely incredible. I'm sitting down right now with H.P. Newquist. He is the curator and director of the Relayer Group, and they're the ones responsible for bringing this exciting exhibit to the Museum of Idaho. H.P., thanks so much for taking a moment.
Well, thank you very much for coming and visiting us.
I think one of the things that's going to surprise a lot of people is just how far back this really goes. I mean, humans were thinking about this a long time ago.
They have. Humans have, for a long time, well, thousands of years, wanted to recreate themselves in some form, create, almost playing God, if you will, creating devices or creatures that were similar to us that could think. And even Greek myths from several thousand years ago include tales of a giant robot man that could walk around the island of Crete. And if you take that and bring it forward, there are lots of myths of metal heads that could talk to kings and popes, on up to really the most defining image of what AI gone bad could be, which is Frankenstein.
Right.
And that was 207 years ago. And it was written by an 18-year-old girl. And it's still the definitive idea of what could go wrong if we try to create objects, devices, creatures in our own image.
As I got here, HP, that's one of the things that really struck me was going all the way back to Frankenstein, because I think oftentimes people get in their mind that AI is something much newer. And while the technology is new and continues advancing, that concept or idea is not exactly new.
No, and philosophers would refer to it as the God complex, that we're here on Earth, we should be able to do what God did by creating us, we should be able to create something like ourselves on our own. And it's been a pursuit, as I said, that's gone on for several thousand years, but here we are in 2025, and most of us are using AI on our phone by using Face ID or talking to our phones and having text messages that we speak, or using Google Maps. So AI is all around us, but we still don't completely understand it as a public.
What do you think people are going to be most surprised about as they go through this exhibit?
I think that most people think of AI as being the Terminator, you know, a robot bent on destruction and taking over humans. And it's really not that. It's AI is software. And AI, as I said, is in your phones, it's on all our devices. But it's really something that they will find here is something they can interact with almost at a human level. And the new AI apps like ChatGPT are things where you can converse with an AI and it seems like you're conversing with someone else. So I think people will be surprised at seeing the technology in use and how human-like it really is.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because a little while back I came across a story where there was this trend of young men actually wanting to marry their ChatGPT, you know, AI assistants. So that really does give us a glimpse into just how human-like this interaction can feel to people.
It really does. The newest version of ChatGPT actually has a voice interaction, and it will respond to you with a voice, and the voice will actually do what I'm doing, which is like pausing or maybe correcting itself by saying or. And it gives it a human feeling, you know, it'll maybe kind of even catch itself. And I'm doing that on purpose to show how it does it. And when you hear it, you're like, no, that's what people do. People change thoughts midstream or they take weird pauses. Now it's been programmed to mimic that kind of human behavior.
So it doesn't feel really mechanical.
No, and the voice is amazing. And to your point, there's actually a story in the New York Times just a couple weeks ago about a woman who pays an incredible amount of money to have an online relationship with her version of, it's not ChatGPT, it's another specific AI, but how basically she loves it as much as she loves her husband.
Wow.
So it's the movie Her, which was with Scarlett Johansson as the voice, is very much a reality. And that film was a decade ago, but people are actually anthropomorphizing, making their device human and referring to it as her or he or him or whatever, and not any longer as an it.
So do you believe we're going to continue seeing more of that, where people will shell out some
yes.
big bucks
yes.
to have this companionship?
Yes.
And the interesting thing about that is it kind of takes the work out of it, because they can really program that ChatGPT to be what they want it to be.
Exactly. That's hitting the nail on the head. The idea that you can have a companion that knows about you and learns about you and plays to your favorite things or to your strengths or to your vulnerabilities and doesn't say bad things or doesn't get in fights with you is very appealing to a lot of people, especially in an age of social media where a lot of people don't have face-to-face contact, even with their friends. It's all via text or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And it does have a benefit in terms of, say, companionship for people who really are alone, or for people who are in assisted living who have no family, and they can start having a conversation. And it's not like Alexa, you know, turn on the radio. It's more like, hey, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? And then having the AI say, well, you know, I think this is a pretty good idea, or a pretty good idea who might win. What do you think? And then you reply, well, you know, I'm kind of a Chiefs fan. And then it can reply, well, the Chiefs have a great team this year. You know, it's going to be very interactive. And for people who are literally alone, it could be a godsend. But for those people who maybe should be out and about in the real world experiencing everything the world has to offer, to stay inside and have their only friend be an AI probably isn't good for society.
Right. That's kind of the downside. But it's so interesting as you talk about that loneliness piece, because the Surgeon General came out recently and declared that we really do have this loneliness epidemic.
Yes. And it's, you know, it's kind of a chicken and the egg. Was it fostered by the fact that we've relied so much on social media that we've now become isolated except for our texts? I mean, I see a lot of my friends as often as I can, but I do text with them to catch up. Some people do it the other way around. They only see their friends rarely, but text is their main form of communication, maybe with the entire outside world. When it becomes a person's chosen means of interacting with the world, when they have other options, that's when I think society has to pay attention and say, let the genie out of the bottle here. We need to course correct. People need to be interactive in order for society to function.